I don't read much fiction, as I'm fascinated by poetry and regularly disappointed by fiction, which is usually about entertainment or provocation rather than transcendence. When I saw that the author of Charles Olson and Alfred North Whitehead, An Essay on Poetry, had a book of fiction, I had a feeling it went beyond what passes for storytelling on this side of the Atlantic. The story of a man in Jerusalem whose lover disappears, how he searches for her past ancient landmarks and manages to hold on to his dreams, is the plot. Shahar Brahm is poet, translator, and scholar who works in both English and Hebrew. He lives in Jerusalem, and his new book may give us the key to the source of unrest in the Middle East, the one conflict that seems to be at the core of most of the problems on our planet. The book is The Stones, published by Two Cities Press, and Shahar Brahm is our guest. Shahar, pleasure to talk to you about this today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
You're an Olson fan, and a fan of Alfred North Whitehead, obviously, by that book that I made reference to. So you are interested in something beyond entertainment or intellect when you read. Are you bored by most fiction?
that's a tough one. I'm bored by a lot of it, let's say. Let's put it this way. I'm used to reading poetry, but I do read some fiction.
Right. What was the inspiration for The Stones?
Living in Jerusalem. That's basic. That's basic the answer.
I've never been there, but it's, you know, in reading the book and getting a sense, a tour of Jerusalem, places like the Valley of Hinnom, the Tower of David, Jaffa Gate, you get a sense of being there when we're being led through this as this man who is going after his lover who was, we don't know at first, is she kidnapped? Has she been murdered? And these kinds of things, unfortunately, are things that happen regularly in your city.
That's true. And it was my intention to mix everyday life in Jerusalem with the past and give the audience, give the reader a feeling of really what I feel is a kind of a mad place, and where past and present are mixed and terrible things happen, and yet at the same time it's like everyday life is going on, you know, it's just a regular city.
There's a murder, you get a cup of coffee, and everything in between.
In a way, that's how it works in here. You know, get some period where it's more quiet and everything seems just, you know, fine. But then again, without any, you know, just suddenly something happens, and it all has to do with the past. You know, the past rules this city.
Right. We'll certainly get into that. That's obviously the meat of the book. The narrator, protagonist, pines for Boston. And I get a sense that there's a bit of autobiography in this book.
Well, not exactly. You know, it's my love for Boston and for Gloucester and for the Northeast. But I was born in Israel. I was born in Jerusalem. I grew up. I was raised in Haifa. And I never lived in the U.S., you know, except for, well, like 1 year, my sabbatical or 2 years. I was visiting, many times I came.
Interesting, because it reads like that to me. In the story, that narrator, protagonist, tells of how, as a child, he saw ghosts.
Yes. some ghosts are, some ghosts are more material than the others, and So the book mixes certain like types of ghosts. Some are more personal, we can say, and some are more historic-like, you know. So some are ghosts that a kid might, a kid whose childhood is not that happy and things are happening around him might get to know this ghost, and then there's like the city with all its past, and it's heavy. The recording, I hope it works. The city fills the kid's heart with other ghosts. So it's a mixture of the personal and the historic, and this is a kind of experience that I think so. I think Jerusalemites experience.
Yes, and as we are led through the tour of the ancient city, are they ghosts? Are they phantasms? Are they hallucinations? We're not exactly sure, nor is the narrator sure. So there's a mix of different things that we might call ghosts, but are not ghosts as they may be defined on dictionary.com or something like that. You know, those of us interested in poetry in the United States, certainly the beat poets, might know the phrase Moloch, or the character Moloch from Allen Ginsberg's poem Howl. Others may know it from Bible studies or from Paradise Lost. But in the book is described an experience at a place in Jerusalem, Sultan's Pool, in which this narrator has a flashback to the time when people were sacrificing their children to Moloch.
Well, Moloch, living in Jerusalem, Moloch becomes it's not a legend anymore, and it's not a literary,
trope.
Exactly, it's something that if you are sensitive, and if you walk in the streets of Jerusalem and you feel history around you, it's coming alive. So this is where it happened. You know, this is where it took place. This is the places. And that was part of my intention in the book. I wanted to take the reader by the hand and lead him through the streets of Jerusalem where it all took place, according to the stories, according to history.
We're talking with Shahar Brahm. He's the author of the book, The Stones. It's published by Two Cities Press. I'm Paul Nelson. You know, when I was reading the book, I had a sense of who you were after I read Charles Olson and Alfred North Whitehead, An Essay on Poetry. And some of the similarities I see in Olson, what he was after, and Whitehead, what Whitehead was after, is that this notion of material reality, or people who believe that reality is only the things that you can touch or that you can smell or what have you, that approach is a very limited approach. And Olson and Whitehead understood that reality was much more complicated than that, that it involved energetics. And so when you call the book The Stones, I begin to think about Native American philosophy, where stones are honored in sweat lodge ceremonies as grandfathers, and that they have knowledge for us, and that stones and what we might consider inert things like mountains actually have some kind of sentience. Is that what you were going for in part with this book?
Partly so. I would say that stones carry history in them, you know, in a way, and it's a mixture of, imagine a city where people mumbles holy phrases and read the Bible every day or whatever holy scriptures, and then touch the stones and have all the rituals, you know, with the stones or the walls or whatever inside and touching them and so on. So it's a mixture, it's a reality of mixed forces. Like energy is a mixture of material and words, and it is a kind of strange thing to say, but in a way, if you're sensitive enough and if you open your eyes, you know, you can see it happening all the time in Jerusalem. That's what happens, and stones do carry some inheritance or some powers or some energy. If you're willing, you know, you have to have the will to reach for that energy. So in this regard, I guess Jerusalem is really special. I mean, there are other places, but the mixture of scriptures and stones, you know, this is a very particular way in which Jerusalem is different, and everyday life in Jerusalem is a mixture of past and present and scriptures and material world.
Yeah, something that we don't have in quite the same way here in North America. You know, we have it in a different way, but certainly not the intensity of all those prayers in that very small location, the old city of Jerusalem, and the prayers of different traditions, traditions that have for the ages been warring, and yet saturating stones with this energy that is in part very holy and to be admired. And
in another way with, you know, the images of Moloch and what have you, to be feared or something to be concerned with. And I think what you're talking about people being sensitive is about people being open. And that's where I see the connection with Olson and Whitehead and your work there. You know, they were talking about open form. And so to be open to a certain extent, on the one hand, you expose yourself to these ghosts and phantasms and can go crazy. But on the other hand, you can have a deeper sense, I feel, of how reality actually happens as occasions of experience, which is what Whitehead was talking about, and Olson seeing that not only as a way to write the poem, but as a way to live your life.
Exactly. One difference, though, I would say, is that you mentioned going crazy, and the stones in part of it is about this thin line, you know, on which men walks, trying to stay, you know, in between, being open, reaching out for the stones, reaching out for the environment around him, reaching out for history and holiness and whatever it is, and at the same time keeping away from getting crazy, literally, you know, getting crazy, because in some aspects, Jerusalem is a really a mad place. It's a crazy place. People do things which you wouldn't expect people to do. So in a way, I think the Jonah is trying to walk, you know, the thin line in between. I'm not really sure how successful he is, but there's a thin line, and the line is to find the right path is not that easy, I would say, because this mixture of all these traditions you spoke about, it's filled. Jerusalem is filled with different people, different traditions. Holiness from, you know, Christian, Arabs, that is Muslims, Jewish, all over the world, people from all different places coming here, and to, you know, just walking the path in between and staying sane in a way.
Very difficult to do in a city like that.
Yeah.
even if you're not an open person, I mean, you know, seeing people get blown up in a bus and, you know, and just have to maintain normal life. You know, you're on your way, you're commuting, you're going to your job in a cubicle somewhere, and then a bus blows up. I mean, it's not something that happens very often here in the United States, but it's something that, you know, the memory of which is in everyone who lives in Jerusalem.
Yes, certainly. The present, as the past, is filled with unexpected events. Politically, the book is, you know, in a way, it's if it is surreal in a way, it's because politics gets, but not in a regular way, into the book. His loved one is kidnapped, which is a thing that happens here. You know? That's reality in here. At the same time, he walks in the streets and imagines himself as walking between the dead. So it's a mixture. It's sometimes it's really crazy. And I wanted the American reader, you know, someone who is not familiar with living in Jerusalem, itself is different.
Yeah, I get the politics when Jonah talks about the sacrifice of children and how that has not stopped, and that servants of past prophecies want the reign of the past to return. I mean, as a person with, I guess you could call them progressive or libertarian type tendencies, I think immediately of Netanyahu and people like that.
Well, I won't go into politics, but certainly, I mean, you felt right. Prophecies are part of the present, not of the past, you know, that take words from the present, from the past, and they use it, they use it for ideological reasons and to serve the present. And indeed, politics is there, it's in the book, but not directly. And that's one thing, I wanted to touch it And as you said, you know, the sacrifice of the son, this is the main theme in a way. This is the most important thing in a way for me, because it goes on. It goes on. That's what I feel. It goes on, and I don't see stopping to it. I don't see any. I don't see a future, you know, where it stops. So this is really, you touch the main issue here, the sacrifice of the son. And the book leads to it, you know. Jonah walks the streets of the ancient city, and it leads him to the place of sacrifice.